Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, and this is going to be an interesting one.
Good afternoon, sir. Yes, and just before we went on air, we discovered a unique connection from one of our guests in the morning Atlanta Business Radio show and the two gentlemen here with us this afternoon. But yeah, I've been looking forward to this segment for some time. We are going to have with us, with Ecom Hub, two gentlemen, Kurt Heinrich and Nate Christie. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, great to be here.
Kurt, you are the founder and chief platform officer of this outfit, huh?
That's right.
So talk about it. What do you guys, how are you helping folks?
Sure. So what we offer is a solution. You know, Ecom Hub, it's an e-commerce automation software. So we're a technology startup here in Atlanta, about 2 dozen people. And, you know, what we do is, in a sense, automate the part of e-commerce that you don't see. So, you know, everyone's bought things online. They've gone through Amazon and websites. But after you push that checkout button, there's a lot of manual things that have to happen behind the scenes to place an order, getting things to the fulfillment center, the warehouse, and the distributor. So basically what we do is we have a software solution that plugs into the storefront systems and automates these behind the scenes.
So now there's systems. Always been a lot of storefront software, right?
Yeah, so what we call them in the industry is shopping cart software. Shopify,
right.
Magento, BigCommerce. Are a lot of the large players, and they're really, they've taken off a lot in the past few years. I mean, I think when we started on Shopify and integrated with them, we were one of their first API partners about 3 or 4 years ago, and they had 20,000 customers, and they're now up to 140,000, so a lot of growth.
Now, in the, correct me if I'm wrong, I use Amazon all the time, right? Like, I'm a regular Amazon Prime, I drink the Kool-Aid.
Yep.
But I'm not really buying from Amazon, right? I'm buying from some individual vendor a lot of times that's out there that's just part of the Amazon ecosystem.
Right. So there's actually, well, there's a mix. Most products, yes, on Amazon today, they are a marketplace. When they started, you know, everyone knows they were selling books. But, you know, Amazon today, most of it's the, you know, third-party sellers that would sell on there. And, you know, some of them store their inventory with Amazon, if you ever see the little FBA icon next to it. But, you know, most of it's
so now, would that person that's that individual vendor be also a customer of you, or potentially?
Yeah, so we have two sides to our platform. We work with both the retailers that are the merchants selling on these storefronts and marketplaces, and then we also tie into the vendor side of that, which would be, you know, where the orders are going to.
So a lot of time the retailer isn't the person that's ends up shipping the stuff out?
So that's a good question. And, you know, I don't want to get too into the muddy details on the back end of e-commerce necessarily on here. But what, you know, in a simple sense today, the big difference between starting up an e-commerce business now versus, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, especially when e-commerce was getting going, obviously in the 90s, it was, you know, a new concept, big box retailers moving online, you know, think like Best Buy, Home Depot,
right.
Places like that. Today, if you start up, you know, if you're smaller or just, you know, using these shopping cart platforms, you want to, you know, you don't necessarily have to build your own warehouse anymore. So you would outsource your fulfillment to probably a 3PL, or you might be doing drop shipping through distributors, which is what I used to do. And, you know, things like that to get going.
So are you just a little bit surprised, Lee, that there is any room left in this market? I would have thought that this would have been a completely saturated, look, they've got this figured out, the players are there. I mean, you saw a gap or something? How did all this get started for you?
Yeah, so e-commerce, everyone thinks that it's already happened, and there was a big explosion in the early 2000s when Amazon and eBay took off, but really, like right now, we're going through an even bigger wave with these shopping carts and platforms. So yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I can kind of back up.
I thought that was a fantastic question.
It was an all right question. Basically, I got started. The company was founded in 2010, and it grew out of software I had originally built to automate my own stores. That's where the need originally was.
So what was your original store?
iPod accessories. So I started selling online when I was 12 years old. First selling on eBay, then selling on Amazon, and then opened up my own store.
So where'd you get the accessories?
That's secret, man. That's his source.
Is that secret?
No. Now it's too easy to start up a store and get the products. Because back then it was a different era. You know, it was just having a store and an online presence was your competitive advantage.
Right.
And these days it's more.
Do you get found by somebody looking?
So how did I find suppliers?
Say you were saying today I have a kid that's 17. I'm like, I want him to get online and do something. And now he's going to sell iPod accessories or iPhone accessories.
Right.
So what does he do?
So first, I wouldn't pick that market yet today because it's too competitive on Amazon. Your cheapest supplier is going to be on Amazon.
Okay.
Which it's hard to have a business that way. But I'll back up kind of on how I got started into it. I found the relationships. Basically, you can set up relationships with the distributors. So a lot of these brands will sell their products to distributors, and then
you're a distributor that your channel just happens to be online,
right? And so I became a reseller for those distributors, and was drop shipping originally for them. So that's how I was able to operate it out of my bedroom. Is you don't have to keep all the inventory, on your shelves and
so you just had a website.
You never
touch the stuff.
Yeah, so you get orders, and then when the orders came in, then you'd have to take those orders and put them in a spreadsheet or whatever the distributor required and send them off. And then once they shipped the orders, then you'd have to make sure they got shipped. And then if the customer called in and said they wanted faster shipping or where's my order, then you can
run into them. It was your problem because they bought it from you.
Right. And so hence you run into a lot of manual work, and you come home from school and you had to spend 4 hours doing processing orders, and then eventually you do that for enough years that you decide to start building some scripts to do that. And then
had you built software before?
Well, this is my first software company, but back then I mean part of with the e-commerce, I got into web development at an early age, and at first it was more front-end web development. In high school I interned at a company called Digital Scientists, and that's where I picked up a lot of my skills on web development and Ruby on Rails and things like that, and that's what kind of got me interested in building something that was more scalable and higher margin than just iPod accessories.
So now your firm is Ecom Hub, and you brought a member of your team.
That's right. We got Nate Christie here who heads up our marketing.
Welcome, Nate.
Thank you.
So now, what's your biggest challenge? Just getting the word out about what you guys do?
Yeah, I would say getting the word out. And quite frankly, in some ways, our value proposition makes a lot of sense when people hear it. Kurt mentioned sort of the manual processes involved that we're solving for. To break it down sort of quantified-wise, we estimate it takes between 12 to 15 minutes per order for someone to manually process one for a retailer. And we tend to cater to online retailers that are doing hundreds, maybe even thousands of orders per month. So 12 to 15 minutes adds up pretty quick. You're now starting to hire staff. Manual processes introduce the risk of human error, coding things in. If you're doing hundreds or thousands, odds are you're not just working with one distributor, but maybe up to a dozen. And each require their data in a different format, yada, yada, yada. You can see how it gets out of hand very quick. I sort of affectionately refer to that area in between the card and your distribution network as sort of being a muddled middle that takes a lot to deal with. So by automating it and telling the story, people instinctively go, oh, my goodness, I feel that pain immediately.
Right, because they're living it every day.
So that's really our sweet spot. There aren't actually, Kurt actually is a fan of saying this part of e-commerce has been underserved by the technology. A lot of the innovation has been on the front end, on the carts, et cetera. We like to use the term democratization. Much easier, much cheaper to open a site now. But you never think of the complexity on the back end in some ways for a lot of our clients until they started living it and realize how quickly it got out of hand. So I'm sort of the evangelist. I tell that story. And quite frankly, the moment I talk to anyone, they nod their head and go, yes, do you have a card?
Now, so how do you identify and find the prospective e-retailer that's appropriate?
Sure. So, a couple different channels, obviously, the classic, search engine marketing, build a great website that brings in organic traffic. We also...
Is that Kurt's problem? because he's the web guy.
It's one of them.
That's right. That's right. We also obviously have a presence on our partners on the front end with the Shopify's and BigCommerce and channel advisors of the world that that route traffic our way. And then we also have partnerships with the fulfillment solutions out there. Who are obviously interested in having their clients be happy clients, sell more product, be easier to work with. So we partner with them on referrals and partnerships to bring their clients to us as well.
So your client isn't the Best Buy. That's too big? Like you're the smaller to mid-size
retailer? I would say small growing up to mid-size. Mm-hmm. There's sort of an 80-20 rule, maybe even 90-10 rule around size of retailer. Our specialization is really once retailers are getting up into the hundreds of orders, even thousands of orders per month and up from there is really our sweet spot. Just because they've kind of grown enough to really feel the pain and look at a solution like ours that can solve so much for them.
That's right. And you'll find those types of customers on these newer shopping cart platforms that have really taken off in the past few years.
So there's a lot of those mm-hmm. shopping cart solutions.
Well, so there's Shopify. They got like 140,000. BigCommerce, I believe, has about over 50,000. Magento has a couple hundred thousand. They got bought by eBay.
So, but like, take a Shopify. They're one of your partners, right?
You guys mm-hmm. are agnostic, right? As long as they're good care. Quality, you don't. Mm-hmm. You're cool with it, right?
Right. We just want growing retailers that have something to automate.
Right. So, like, for a Shopify, your relationship is when Shopify gets a new e-retailer, you're one of these solutions that can help make their life easier.
That's right. I mean, I always use the analogy. Kind of what we do is. What Salesforce did to the CRM world, these shopping carts have really done to the e-commerce world. Mm-hmm. And so naturally, you know, after the existence of Salesforce for a few years, these other companies like Pardot, Marketo, HubSpot that popped up to automate on top of it.
Right.
That was marketing automation. So you can kind of think what we do, e-commerce automation. Mm-hmm. We're pioneering it. It's kind of a newer market. And that's part of the reason we're, you know, trying to get the word out there on e-commerce automation. But we plug into those shopping carts and automate them.
Right. So you're, to be an evangelist for e-commerce shopping cart technology, that helps you because you're serving a niche that they don't serve.
Exactly. Yeah, they take care of the front end. What happens before the order gets placed, and then we're there to take that order and get it now, automated to your doorstep.
Do they have these like Salesforce has Dreamforce? Do they have shows that are shopping cart and e-commerce?
Yeah, we'll be at some later
like
this
kind of
year.
User group kind of shows where all the vendors that kind of.
Party. I mean, get together and explore best practices.
Live off of Shopify. Do they all get together? Are there API?
Yeah,
companies?
Absolutely. Magento, Channel Advisor, they all throw their own, you know, proprietary shows. And then there are larger events where they have a presence, like IRCE in Chicago.
So you're always traveling to these events and trying to be their best friend, right?
Yeah, well, you're asking Nate earlier what his biggest challenges are getting the word out. So this year, it's, you know, going to be getting me to these different conferences and doing right. things like that.
So you speak at the conferences typically?
Yeah, we're planning to do some this year. There's some, you know, IRCE is a big one. Channel Advisor has one coming up. And, there's going to be a lot of different types of, you know, even within the shopping carts, they all kind of have different meetups and conferences and things like that.
We actually have been a helping force behind several businesses grow. And in fact, we have some of our clients actually speaking at some of these conferences as
nice.
Retailers, but it never hurts when you've been a part of their journey.
Right. You're always looking for that next cool retailer, right? Because the more successful they are, and you help them.
You know, it's funny. I'm not sure I'd use the word cool. it's funny. I jokingly say we kind of handle the unsexy part of e-commerce, right? So we're not about the whiz bang website on the front end. We're about efficiency on the back end
right.
for you. So we actually just want to be a part of the guys who are growing and moving a lot of orders and need help with the efficiency piece. I'll leave the coolness to them.
One of our coolest customers sells light bulbs and you've never heard of them. They just sell a lot of them.
Mm. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Do you have customers here in Atlanta? Or is it mostly, it's anywhere in the world, right?
We've got customers locally, but we got them all over the place. We have customers internationally, we have customers here. That's kind of that's not really a thing that, because we've done it, just kind of the nature of e-commerce these days and the shopping carts.
We're very popular in Australia.
Australia.
Australians apparently are very into efficiency in their e-commerce.
Right. And if the check clears, then I say they're a cool customer.
That's right.
That's my criteria.
That's right.
So how did you guys get connected? Tell us a little bit about that story.
The two of us?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, truthfully, I had been with another technology company and was looking for a new opportunity. And I think I saw a heck of a want ad at some point in time. And Kurt and I met over coffee, and I was inspired by his journey to that point, and pretty fascinated, objectively with the business and the market opportunity and the opportunity to get involved in the e-commerce side of things. So it was a pretty short interview, at least from my side.
Slam dunk for you on your end, huh? So what were you looking for? Tell us a little bit about where you were at that point.
That you needed a marketing guy.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, this was late 2013. We raised our Series A of a few million dollars. And when we did that, we were really looking to ramp up our marketing and sales for going into, last year, 2014.
Right.
So early on in the year, we were out looking for marketing, looking for sales, hiring, development, and came across, a lot of good candidates and decided to go with,
Is it harder to find a marketing guy or a programmer?
I mean, every tech company, the challenge is going to be getting that that development talent.
Marketing guys are a dime a dozen.
That's right.
I wasn't trying to say that, but
I'm his third radio show with a marketing guy this week.
So you mentioned Series A funding. So you personally went through the process of securing funding, or did you get some coaching, or what was that process like?
At the time the company was early on, so it was me and a few early employees, but definitely a lot of coaching and mentoring. In 2011, I was in the Georgia Tech Flashpoint program. And that's really where I picked up a lot of my connections and mentoring through that, that I think played a very large role in. Again, that was 2011, and over the next few years, just building up those relationships in town, and then keeping people updated on the progress. And then eventually in 2013, when we had, more traction and customers and things like that, that's when we decided to go out and raise the money.
And then what's your kind of vision for the company?
This is just the beginning. So today, we're integrating with these different shopping carts and going after this opportunity to automate on top of that. But, I think there's a larger opportunity in general just to reduce that friction in the supply chain. So, that's part of going into, my role is the overseeing the platform is today we have a product and that's serving the market, and we're putting a lot of resources and marketing sales into that. But in the future, we might have other products or things that all tie into the platform, maybe serve other sides of the market and things like that.
Work from shopping cart, like post shopping cart.
Yeah. I mean, that's the,
that's today, but not necessarily in the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a crystal ball. You can only see 2 or 3 years out into the market, and kind of vision that you always want to anticipate what's out there. But, at the same time, be able to adjust.
But the stuff that this organization has developed with a little bit of creativity and innovation can probably be applied to a variety of complex systems that may be well outside our frame of reference for this one thing. And I have a feeling these two guys have already thought of a half a dozen of them.
I probably answered that question too broadly in terms of the vision. So in terms of the vision for the next year or two, what we're looking to do is just this year really grow and get the word out there on e-commerce automation. And, we're starting to attract larger, larger customers. Originally we started out as more of a self-service solution, but what we found is a lot of these mid-market and even sub-enterprise companies that we're running into all have the same sort of need. So anywhere from a $250,000 retailer all the way up to a $100 million plus retailer, we're starting to see they have those same problems and serve them.
Yeah, but I'm suggesting it might even go outside retailing. There's a lot of complex systems that involve moving stuff around that you guys are, and you also said this wasn't your first software company. Don't think I didn't hear that early in the conversation. You said this was your first software company.
Yes, this is.
Which means you got plans for the future.
That's right.
I would just say, adding to this here, it's funny. We obviously service retailers and help alleviate their problems. One area where we're particularly strong and growing is the fulfillment side of that equation. Side of the equation is having equal interest in us. As ways to help them serve their own customers as well. So really being the agnostic player right down the middle garners interest sort of from both sides from us. And so really, sky's sort of the limit on how this all could play out.
How many e-retailers are there?
Millions.
Are there?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. There's a whole spectrum. of retailers out there today.
And what's the kind of, if you were to describe the, in terms of size, how many, where's your sweet spot? Like how many are in your sweet spot?
So I think, Nate, you hit on that a little bit earlier when you were talking about the size. You know, we look for someone that's growing to, they're doing a few hundred orders a month up to, you know, someone that's doing tens of thousands of orders is really good, and we can help them and add a lot of value. So, I mean, on the shopping carts, you know, Shopify's got 140,000 customers. BigCommerce has, 50,000. You have a whole range. You have, people just starting out of their bedroom, maybe selling more boutique, like their own items handcrafted. That's not really the type of customer that we're going out, and that's probably the, where a lot of those numbers are made up. But there are a lot of, a lot of big retailers out there that are not household names like that you haven't heard of, and those are the ones that we really go after.
Yeah, I mean, we typically don't deal with the people who service the clients, I should say, that are sort of, this is a weekend or a part time job for them. This is they've moved into full time mode and beyond. And the worldwide numbers that are in that sweet spot for us are still, hundreds of thousands. I mean, if you think of every niche that exists out there, there are probably four dominant retail sites that live in it. That adds up pretty quickly when you think worldwide. There's really sort of no limit in some ways for where we're going.
So the whole sales and marketing thing, because you're the sales and marketing guy, right?
Correct.
Or just marketing.
Or just marketing.
Are you both?
Marketing knows a little bit about sales.
He's working the whole funnel, Lee. He's working the whole funnel. So are you just, you're hanging out in front of your computer and you have a less than phenomenal retail experience. Is that one of the ways you're like, boy, these folks need us? I'm sure that maybe happens from time to time. But does your phone ring a lot, or do you have like the systemized approach to going out and kicking up new business? What is your day like, Nate?
So, the answer is actually both the examples you just said. We're today, we're fielding dozens of inquiries proactively coming to us by phone, email, website, what have you.
Right.
So that keeps us pretty busy. As you can imagine. Then we're also, mentioned earlier, engaging a lot of outbound activities as well against targeted retailers, or maybe on the distribution side partners that we want. And we're out at shows and publishing content and blogs and infographics.
Okay,
and videos.
So there's a thought leadership dimension to the content
that I would say is really just kind of kicking off. But I for those of you listening, I assure you, if you come to our site over the next 30, 60, 90 days, you're going to see a lot more thought leadership elements coming and going forward.
Why that is, that a pivot or just something you finally got around to at some point? Or
not a pivot, it's probably a function of hiring a dedicated marketing person,
right?
so now they lean on Kurt, go be smart,
exactly.
That's write some white papers,
exactly. That's a lot of it. Kurt obviously has an amazing story and amazing insight, and on this piece, so certainly, getting Kurt's name and face out there helps from a marketing perspective. But overall, the ability to be the thought leadership for those thriving retailers, maybe those folks who started out part-time and got a hold of something and grew and maybe started to hire a staff and is now going, wow, I have so many orders here. Do I hire someone and pay them $50,000, $60,000 a year to process all my orders? Or maybe there's an automated way to do this. We will be there to receive them and help them. But in the meantime, positioning ourselves as thought leaders in that space certainly helps them proactively reach out to us.
So, Kurt, are you looking forward to this new role of the
smart guy?
Part of the dog and pony
white
show
paper
that
author?
Nate's got planned for you?
I mean, it's ramping up this year, so that's why I'm trying to get out and do things like this.
We're here today.
No, that's fantastic. And I think you're going to find, and you're probably well aware of this, there's a lot of smart people that have a great deal to offer with regard to the application of your stuff in your whole ecosystem. You've got clients and strategic alliances, and you got right. So there's some real gold to be mined out there for content.
Absolutely. Too. I mean, I sort of encourage anyone listening about this space to actually go try to find a lot of published content on this side of Ecom Hub. There's not much.
Little thin at this point.
And so if you sort of consider I said it earlier, but anytime we sort of talk about these issues with anyone in that ecosystem, there's a lot of head nodding and there's a lot of, yes, I'm so glad someone's talking about this, because it's, it's not the sexy front end part of it.
Right.
But upset customers, slow delivery, all of those issues add up. You start looking a lot less sexy when people have bad reviews for you as a retailer. So we can help with that.
So, Kurt, if somebody wanted to learn more, website, where can they go to get more information?
On the company?
Yep.
Yeah, check out our website, ecomhub.com, and, you know.
That's where they can sign up. It's software as a service, right?
Right.
And then, Nate? Do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say ecomhub.com obviously is, you know, it's the best way to learn more and contact us. If you are one of those thriving retailers that's doing, you know, 100 orders and up on a month, there's an opportunity to sign up for a free trial, learn more about us, and you know, hopefully you're a good fit and we can help you grow.
Good stuff. Well, thank you both for being part of the show today.
Well, our pleasure.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.